This is the Ethanol Report. I'm speaking with Brooke Coleman, who is the new executive director of a brand new organization. And this organization is to advocate for the advanced form of ethanol. And Brooke, why don't we start off by you just telling us a little bit about yourself and your background.
I have been working in the biofuel sector for 10-plus years now. I was an early advocate for banning MTBE, and the loss of that chemical ultimately resulted in a lot of the marketplace that you see today for ethanol. And since then, I've put together several coalitions and campaigns supporting the use of renewable fuels in this country to reduce our dependence on oil and to get to the point where we have a more sustainable and domestically produced fuel supply. And so the most recent part of that is this new council.
And this is called the Advanced Ethanol Council, just announced in conjunction with the Renewable Fuels Association and industry leaders in the advanced technology for the next generation ethanol. Tell us a little bit about this new organization and what your goals are.
The new organization came together around a common theme, and the common theme is that both existing corn ethanol producers and tomorrow's cellulose and advanced ethanol producers have a common interest. And that is opening up U.S. fuel markets to the use of ethanol. At the end of the day, both of those companies, those entities, those industries are producing the same fuel molecule. And so that's the commonality that the two entities share. So the next step is getting these two industries to work together and to figure out policy objectives and policies themselves that allow for the maturation of this industry, allow for different types of feedstocks to be used to produce ethanol and facilitate the technologies that we need to get there. And so advanced ethanol is truly on the cusp of commercialization. It's a fuel that is not 15 years down the road. It's a realistic option. And there are plants in the ground already today producing advanced ethanol at demonstration and commercial scale. And what we really need to do is focus our efforts on making sure that we get there, because if we get there, that means that we're reducing our dependence on foreign oil, creating jobs in this country, and we're creating a more sustainable fuel supply and a more diversified ethanol portfolio.
Corn ethanol has gotten us to where we are today, but you talked about these. We're talking about a wide range of different feedstocks. Give me an example of some of the feedstocks that are being used right now by these industry leaders to produce the next generation of ethanol.
The first one that existing corn ethanol producers were most interested in were the other parts of the corn plant. And so these corn ethanol producers, they're using the kernel, but they see the corn stalk, the corn husk, et cetera, as opportunities to produce more ethanol, and that's right there at the grain door. And so you have a lot of companies that are focused on using, you know, other parts of the corn plant to produce ethanol, and that requires, because the sugar is the easiest part to ferment, the use of the other parts of the corn plant require the technology that we're talking about. We've got to break down that plant into fermentable sugar. But there are companies in the Advanced Ethanol Council that are doing a wide variety of other things as well. They're focused on switchgrass. Some of them are focused on agricultural waste, municipal solid waste, woody biomass from both tree plantations and sustainably harvested wood, fast-growing wood. Really, when you look at the council, you have 10 or so companies that are looking at 10 or so different feedstocks and have a variety of different technologies at their disposal.
Really, what it seems like has been the major stumbling block, if you will, has been the funding, the ability to get enough investors interested in getting this technology off the ground. Is that where the council is going to go to make sure that there is enough funding from the federal government and private investors to get next-generation ethanol on the market?
Yeah, the singular focus of this council is going to be on promoting advanced ethanol at the commercialization stage. So we are going to promote policies and government positions and the like that focuses on getting these companies over the hump into the commercialization stage. It's a well-funded industry from a startup perspective. Venture capitalists have been in this industry with significant dollars for some time. But at the end of the day, you still have to build a plant, both the demonstration phase and the commercial phase, and that's a project finance game. So in 2008, a couple of years ago when the recession kicked in, banks and strategic investors just plain old stopped investing in project finance. The other projects out there that had nothing to do with ethanol or fuels went through the same thing. And so some of the delay with regard to getting to the point of commercialization with this fuel comes from things that are out of this industry's control. But with regard to things that are in its control, the cost of the enzymes, the cost of the thermochemical processes, all that stuff has come down significantly over the last 10 years. We've made real progress. If you get beyond the surface, you can see that. And what we really need to focus on is the commercialization aspect and unlocking the full potential of this industry.
Well, talk about why this is so critical, because cellulosic ethanol next generation biofuels are a part of the renewable fuel standard.
The emergence of this industry is critical from a variety of standpoints. The first is that the federal government has made a commitment to use 36 billion gallons a year of renewable fuels by 2022. 15 of that is right now is slated for corn ethanol, and the rest, which is 60% of the total, is an advanced biofuel of a variety of different types, and a big part of that is 16 million gallons for cellulosic ethanol. And so the federal government has made a commitment, but, you know, what the underpinnings of that commitment are what's most important. The reason the federal government did that, it was part of the Energy Independence and Security Act. So what it's really all about is reducing our dependence on foreign oil and generating jobs in the United States. So every day that we rely on foreign oil is another day that we ship, you know, between $800 million and $1 billion overseas. It's a huge drain on our economy. And advanced biofuels and advanced ethanol in particular is one of the most accessible and technologically ready ways to address that problem and meet the federal mandate. The other thing that's happening is you hear a lot about the oil industry, the days of light sweet crude being over. For the most part, that's true. The oil that's easy to find and easy to pull out of the ground and bring to market, that's not around anymore. Companies are having to drill deeper, use alternative heavy oils, use extremely heavy and ecologically destructive of oils like tar sands in Canada to produce oil, and that's the new oil. And so if we don't do this, aside from the federal policies and the job creation benefits, then we're going down that path very, very quickly. And I think that's not only someone else's oil, just as we're relying on now, it's also a dirtier and ecologically unsound oil. And it's a very, very expensive oil. So if we do that, it takes a heck of a lot of money to convert that into something we can use in our vehicles. And people are going to pay for it at the pump. So this is a smart thing to do from a political, from a policy, from an economic perspective. And it's also very smart to do it from a pump price perspective.
Tell me about some of the companies who are involved in the formation of this new council.
There are 10 founding companies, and they are from, really, they're from all over the place. You have companies that are more focused on the technology element that we need to produce these different types of biomass into fuel. We have companies that are focused more closely on building their first plant and want to be the one of the leading producers of this particular fuel. And we have one or two companies that, you know, have been producing fuels, both the conventional and advanced stages. And so it's a really good mix of leaders, and we have companies in Canada, companies from the United States, from overseas. And it's a good, interesting, and strong group, but they are true leaders in this space.
Now, this is a brand new organization. You'll be really making your debut next week at the National Ethanol Conference in Phoenix. What are your main first orders of business for the council? What are your immediate things that you need to accomplish?
As anybody that's put together a council before, they can tell you that the honest answer is that you have to do a lot of administrative work at the beginning and make sure that there's a strong structure through which we all can work together. And I think that's the part we've achieved, and that's what we announced. The second part of it, and probably the most important part of it, is figuring out exactly what we're going to say. And so every company in this council has a position on the policies and the policy directions, et cetera, that we should be going in, both at the congressional level, at the White House level, at the state level. So over the next couple of weeks, we are going to be distilling those different positions into one clear, durable policy agenda that will provide guidance for this particular part of the industry. And so that's what we think has been missing from the conversation, that, you know, as we transition, as we add on to the conventional biofuel marketplace and we move into the important second stages of the RFS development, there's not a really clear path forward. in terms of the understanding of the policymakers, et cetera, for how to promote and make sure that, advanced ethanol is successful. And so that's what we aim to do. We're going to put something out. We're going to be able to explain it clearly, and it's going to be palatable and possible in an environment in which we all know belts will be tightened.
Now, are you going to have a website and a presence and social media and that kind of thing?
Yep, we're going to do all of that stuff. Our partners at RFA are going to help us with some of that. A lot of it will be independent. This is a council with an independent governance team, a chair and two vice chairs that are part of the membership. And so we expect to have our own voice, but at the same time, we expect to work closely with an established trade organization in the RFA and a leader in advocating for the ethanol molecule in the gasoline marketplace collaboratively. And I think our union will be particularly effective when it comes to social media and that type of thing.
Anything else you'd like to add, Brooke?
Only that, there's one of the things that's happening is people sort of look at this council and they say, well, is this a cellulosic ethanol council? And we want to be clear that this is an advanced ethanol council and that there are a lot of different technologies emerging in the marketplace. And what unifies us is the interest in producing the ethanol molecule. And so there are some companies that are interested in producing ethanol from gasification, others from pyrolysis and all these different processes. Others want to do it from algae. You know, at the end of the day, we want to make sure we develop marketplaces for advanced ethanol, not just one type. Cellulosic is a production process that is without a doubt one of the leading ways to produce second-generation ethanol. But there are advanced ethanols that do not use cellulosic processing. So there's advanced ethanol that does not come from cellulose and does not involve converting cellulose into ethanol.
Thank you very much. That's Brooke Coleman, who is the executive director of the new Advanced Ethanol Council. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.